Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to be joined by a very well-known name in the Memphis market when it comes to basketball, the Grizzlies, the Tigers, someone that a lot of people have loved to hear the perspective of over the past several years, Mr. Anthony Sain from Sports 56. Anthony, how are you doing today?
Good, Sean. How you doing, man?
Now, I cannot complain, and I know that I have told you over Twitter and things such as that, but congratulations. You know, it's been a crazy year for all of us, but congratulations to you on all the success, especially over the past couple of years. Well-deserved, and glad that you and Peter are doing awesome through Sports 56.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you with those compliments, man. Yeah, it's been a good year. Just trying to still find my way with radio. It's been a dream of mine, a slow grind of mine that I've pursued over the years, and when opportunity came up, I was available. I tell people all the time that a lot of times, man, you have to, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So when opportunity came, I was ready and available. So here I am living my dream as a sports radio host here in the city of Memphis, and I love doing it. I love the representation of it. I love being the fifth black radio sports radio host in the city of Memphis, and I understand the responsibility that comes with that, and it's just a great feeling, man. It's great to do what I do every day.
Well, and as we certainly have all seen and witnessed, you know, just through your interaction with people via social media, you know, the different avenues that I know that you have a new podcast out, you know, we certainly want to talk about that as well. But, you know, with Anthony, is the big driving force, is it passion? It just seems like there's definitely a lot of passion, not only to, you know, with the purpose that you have, just for the, you know, sports and the Memphis market in general, that really seems to drive you. Is that pretty much what it is?
Oh, I'm just crazy, man. Like, I think something's like for real wrong with me. Like, I'm just a lot of undiagnosed stuff, a lot of undiagnosed stuff going on over here, man. But no, definitely a passionate sports fan, passionate for the city of Memphis and the things that I advocate for. I have a big passion for young people, big passion for social justice and being a citizen of the city of Memphis, born and raised. Those type of things are prevalent here. There's just such a need for just more advocacy for our young people and just closing the gap between kids in the inner city and kids in suburbia or lower class kids or compared to, you know, upper class people. Just something I'm really advocate for, man. And, you know, as far as social justice, those two things often intertwine. But yeah, it's just me, man. I just try to be as genuine, as real as I can be and try to offend as less people as possible. But, you know, in the war, sometimes they're casualty. So, you know, sometimes people get offended.
Well, and the great thing about it is that certainly your dreams are coming true, and even better, you're helping other dreams come true as well. So certainly admirable and commendable on your end. But, you know, Anthony, it's great to have you on because we now are right back in the mix. The NBA returning to a bit of normalcy. We finally, over the past 24 hours, I know you and Peter have discussed it, we've got some, you know, certainty in place with the offseason. It's going to be a crazy 10 to 14 days. What are you most looking forward to, especially with some of the rumors, some big names already out there? What about it are you most looking forward to starting off?
I'm looking forward to these trades, man. Like, I'm big about – I love trades. I love seeing teams, you know, make moves, and that tough decision, man. A lot of times teams are afraid to make a deal because they don't want the perception to be that they got holes in the deal. You know how those kind of things go. So I'm looking forward to that. Free agency, of course. The Grizzlies really can't do much as far as free agency is concerned outside of, you know, keeping D'Angelo Melton or whatever they're going to do with Josh Jackson or whatever. But free agency is always big across the league. More so next summer. Well, next summer, but next offseason than this offseason. But, yeah, looking forward to that as well. And the draft, of course, I want to see where guys end up going, those type of things. And the Grizzlies, they're at the 40th pick. Maybe they can move up. Maybe they can get a guy that they want at 40. You know, this is one of those drafts where there aren't many stars in it. It's going to be a lot of role players. And you have to be a team that's smart enough to find a guy that has an NBA skill and can possibly come in and do something immediately with the Grizzlies.
And, you know, Anthony, obviously, you know, you gave a lot of perspective last year, especially with how good the Grizzlies, you know, kept on capitalizing off of the Mike Conley trade. But the thing that I'll ask you is this, is that, you know, we've discussed it, you know, through some of my, you know, colleagues over at Grizzly Bear Blues on this podcast and other places. You know, you are seeing some teams like the Phoenix Suns, you know, and others that are going to kind of be on that fringe playoff bubble with the Grizzlies next year. Do you feel that the Grizzlies should make a push to make it to the playoffs? Do you think they should just things naturally work out? Or do you kind of see it from the perspective of maybe they could benefit more long term if they weren't to make the playoffs. Where do you kind of stand on that thought process?
I think they should just do natural progression. I think the biggest emphasis should be on the team developing. Just, you know, getting more minutes for Jaren, getting more minutes for Ja, more minutes for BC, seeing what you have in your young guys, seeing what you have in Justice Winslow. If he's healthy and available, you have to, this is a big time of year decision-making wise for them. See what you have in Justice, see how he fits with the team. You got Dylan on the contract for a while. So, you know, ride with him. Just trying to tinker, man, and just getting ready for long-term sustainable success, which is something that, King Kleiman has said he wants to do. Should you make trades to make your team better going into the year? You know, possibly so. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that because you don't want to, you kind of want to get the pieces in place that can be those long-term pieces and get those guys developing together. But I think the end result really shouldn't be a big deal for the Grizzlies. I'm not saying to tank or anything like that, but just let it be what it is, man. If they overachieve again another season, that's great. If not, just let it be what it is, because this 2021 draft is projected to be a better one than this one. Kind of star heavy at the top, and a lot of depth. A lot of good players will be in that lottery area, supposedly, according to the people who get paid to do those type of things to tell you who's going to be coming down the line. So I just think, you know, I don't think fans would be upset. I don't think rational fans would be upset if the Grizzlies didn't make the playoffs next year. But it could very well be a situation where they're a better team, a more developed team, where you see a better version of Jaren, a better version of BC, better version of Ja, but they're still not a playoff team. And you can also look and say, hey, if Ja got better, Jaren got better, BC got better, how is this not a playoff team? I can see that scenario as well. If Jaren really starts coming to the player he is, if Ja's able to knock down that jump shot a little better, if BC gets some perimeter game and can guard wings and can knock down threes better and can make defenders have to make a decision because he can handle the ball off the dribble a little better, you know, that might be a totally different team than what you're seeing now as far as how good they can be. So, like I said, just natural progression, man. Don't do anything drastic on either end. Just kind of see what you have and let the chips fall where they may.
The simple fact that we're saying that natural progression is the way that you want Memphis to go, I think is another validation of just how much trust you can have, not only in this front office, but in this coaching staff. Anthony, you know, you've been around even before the grit and grind era. Do you feel it's easy to say that this front office and coaching staff, this unit of both the coaching staff and front office, is the one that you've had the most trust in since you've really, you know, started following the Grizzlies yourself?
Oh, easy. I've been here since the inaugural season. This is easily the most competent front office we have, and they're only a year into it. I think everything that they do seems to have direction, seems to have purpose, seems to have a plan, and I'm a big fan of things that they do. I talked to Peter about this. The only thing I'm kind of concerned about, I don't really like how they're building their coaching staff. I'd like to see a veteran coach on that bench, not someone that kind of tells coach what he needs to do, but just a guy who's there, who's been there, done that before. I know that they use Brad Jones for that, but Coach Taylor Jenkins is a very young coach, very new to the game. And it's, even though you're a developing team and your coach is a developing coach, you kind of want to have, you know, at least one old head on the bench that can kind of, you know, steer things, help steer things in the right direction. But they've done a great job. The team they had last year with Coach Ivy, those guys, they were great. Coach Ivy, of course, has moved on. They brought other guys in. But me personally, that's one of my only gripes. I just really wish that they would get more veteran, at least one veteran coach on that bench. But everything they've been doing has been brilliant. They've been knocking it all out of the park. Every move they've done has been pretty brilliant. I thought that the whole Josh Jackson thing got kind of nonsensical. Like, I didn't really understand the methods of what they were doing. I just wish they had just maybe waved Josh back in the summertime. I don't understand the point of having him there and, you know, sending him to the hustle and then bringing him back. And I just, if you didn't want him, I just think they should have just moved on with him a while ago and just ended that whole fiasco. And it looks like now that he won't be with the team or whatever. So, but yeah, they've been great. They've been excellent, man. Just constantly making moves on top of moves, smart moves on top of smart moves, and getting gifts that keeps on giving with the holiday season coming up. That's what the Grizzlies did with that Mike Conley trade. It just opened up so many doors for so many things. Opened up that Iguodala trade that brought you a future first-round pick. The Phoenix deal was because of the Utah deal. The Jay Crowder you know, who turned into a Justice Winslow, you know, those type of things. Just smart moves that the Grizzlies have been doing on top of each other that you typically wouldn't see in years past.
I absolutely agree, and I'm right there on the same with the same train of thought with you, Anthony. I had thrown out the name Brett Brown because both him and Taylor Jenkins had ties to Popovich in San Antonio. I thought that he was a sensible piece to add to the bench. So I'm right there with you as far as someone who's been there before. Mm-hmm. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Anthony a little bit about the current roster, some of the names that stand out that we've heard of potentially being trade pieces, some names that, you know, may be on their way out or could be traded. We're going to get Anthony's take on that when we come back on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. The NBA draft is days away, and we have got you covered at the Locked On Podcast Network through the Locked On NBA Daily Podcast Show. The NBA draft is going on, and we are going to mock every first-round pick. That's right, through the Locked On NBA show, they are going to mock draft every first-round pick in this year's draft. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows, and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today wherever you get your podcasts. Do you ever feel like you hit a wall when it comes to your day? It could be as early as you getting up to go to school, to go to work, to tackle a big project that you've been putting off. Maybe getting up to go to do a workout or add healthy routines to your day. Or if it's like me, just actually doing something as simple as going back to work after lunch. It feels like that wall is there and it gets in your way from really being productive. Well, I've got a solution for you, and that's Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's an easy to take in 1.5-ounce package of workout gel. It basically is 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite your work, and it keeps you going, not only to keep you energized, but also keep you productive. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. If you visit BuiltGo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, that's promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order of BuiltGo. Again, if you go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order of Built Go. Let's go. So, Anthony, you last summer, you pointed out, and I went back and I actually looked at the tweet. You know, when you talk about D'Anthony Melton, you are correct. You were one of the first that I recall really having a reaction to when we got D'Anthony Melton in the trade. Hey, this guy is someone to watch out for. So you certainly saw some intrigue with him. How has that intrigue grown? Has he exceeded your expectations with his play this past year? And what do you ultimately think is the best decision, you know, when it comes to, you know, keeping him, using him in a sign and trade, or is there a limit to how much you actually would spend on him?
I definitely like D'Anthony. I like what he brings to the game. Me and Peter talked about this. I'm not a John Hollinger-esque fan of D'Anthony. Like we're saying, his value could be around $15 million per year in a hypothetical world. But I'm a big fan of his, and I'm big on guys that can play defense, that are interchangeable, that can do a lot of things on the court. D'Anthony can do a lot. He has very long arms, and he's not particularly a great on-ball defender, but he's a great defensive playmaker. He has elite-level Tony Allen-esque instinct, very quick hands. He's just one of those guys that's a defensive playmaker who creates turnovers on the field, comparable to NFL guys who might be a cornerback, or they might not be the best in one-on-one coverage, but you know, he's one of those guys that can make big plays on the ball, kind of like a Deion Sanders, so to speak. So that's how I look at D'Anthony. He's a defensive playmaker. He makes things happen, but he's not the best on-ball defender. A lot of people, I've seen people call him he has Marcus Smart potential. I keep calling him Marcus Smart, Marcus Banks. I don't know why. But say he has Marcus Smart potential. I don't really see that. I don't think he'll ever be a great on-ball defender, but D'Anthony does a lot of good things. His jump shot's coming along. He's progressing as a scorer. Just a hard-nosed, tough kid, nice kid to have on your team. But as far as overpaying him, I'm not really down for it. I'm not really down for that at all. I know teams say a guy that young has value. I understand that, but I don't think the Grizzlies should be in a situation where you're spending that type of money when you've got to turn around and pay Job, pay Jaren, possibly pay Brandon. So and possibly add some other talent to this team that's not currently on the roster. So I'm down for keeping him. I just don't want to overspend for him.
And I agree completely. I think that that's something that you kind of got to look at. You know, De'Anthony Melton on his rookie contract, you know, given the production that he's given, you know, that's one thing. But then you actually having to pay for it when the one thing that this team needs and that is needed really in the playoffs is shooting. You don't really know if De'Anthony Melton has that. I agree with you. I think that he's an underrated defensive playmaker, but there is a limit to what you would pay him, especially what you've invested already in the backcourt. I'm comfortable with around 3 years, maybe $30 million, but I know I'll expand that conversation a little bit as well. You know, when it comes to what they've already invested in, you know, with great the emergence of Grayson Allen, they've got him for another 2 years. Tyus and Dylan, they've got them for multiple years as well. Do you feel that these guys are all going to see their contracts through with the Grizzlies, or do you eventually think that some of these contracts were put in place for a couple of those guys to maybe be a trade piece over the next 12 to 18 months?
Yeah, you always got to keep those options open. There are a lot of guys that we value. I've been having this conversation with guys about Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is a guy that I think that will get a lot of interest from other teams. And just looking at it in the bubble, you'll say, you know, we got to have Tyus. You know, we got to have Tyus here. And Tyus did this, Tyus did that. Tyus was great. Don't get me wrong. But you have to understand, sometimes a guy like Tyus Jones is a guy that you have for a rookie point guard, a guy that you don't want to burn a lot of minutes on your rookie point guard who just came back from a knee injury. You know what I mean? You might want to have you'll need a guy like Tyus Jones who plays 20, 25 minutes a game. But as job progresses and he becomes that definite alpha point guard who dominates the ball and, you know, plays those Damian Lillard type minutes, so those starting point guard minutes, those high level starting point guard minutes, how much do you actually need a guy like Tyus Jones? You know what I mean? Is he the guy that you want on the court getting minutes that you'd rather have Ja having? You know what I mean? As Ja progresses and he's able to play those long minutes, long stretches at point guard. Tyus, like I said, has been a great player, but I wouldn't be shocked or upset if the Grizzlies made a deal involving trading him and brought in a lesser value point guard. Like I said, he's perfect for a rookie point guard, a guy who's trying to find his way. But as Ja develops, that kind of takes down the need for a guy like Tyus Jones. Kyle Anderson, of course, a guy you got in the contract even more. Not sure if he's the best fit for this team. If a deal comes along for Kyle, sure. I mean, I'd do it. Dylan, I like good Dylan. And I think that one of the things with Dylan, something I've really been preaching about and stomping about with Dylan, is he needs to have his responsibility tweet on this team. I think that if you remember back when Jay Crowder was here, Jay Crowder kind of set the tone kind of for Dylan. Dylan wasn't able to do as many things as he wanted to do because Jay kind of did those things for the team instead of Dylan. And we saw in the bubble in a situation where when Ja is your primary ball handler and there's no other playmakers on the court, you're allowing Dylan Brooks to do too many things on the court. You're giving him the keys to the car, so to speak, when he doesn't particularly need those. And I think that if you get guys like Justice Winslow going as a playmaker on the court with Ja, I think that he's the type of player that kind of keeps Dylan in line or keeps him in his place or in the proper pecking order, allows him to be a spot-up shooter or give him a much more efficient role on the team and on the court. So I'm a fan of good Dylan and what he can be. But when he's bad Dylan, I think it's also a result of him having too much responsibility on the court at one time.
I think you bring up a great point in that, you know, you've got to, you know, develop this roster, whether it's put Dylan as a sixth man, maybe the, you know, bringing Justice into the fold and letting him kind of do the things Crowder did. I think you bring up a great point in that if you take things off of Dylan's plate a little bit and just let him be Dylan, that could hopefully, you know, open it up to where we get good Dylan more consistently. Right. Another position that'll be interesting to kind of see is the center position with Jonas Valanciunas and Gorgui Dieng. Now, Gorgui Dieng, you know, is a potential expiring contract type of asset that you could see go to a contender. You could even see Jonas potentially being traded. He brings a lot of value, a lot of off-the-court value as well. Mm-hmm. Your thought on the center position, kind of where do you see the Grizzlies going with those two players?
I could definitely see them trading Gorgui in that final year of his deal. I think that deal is going to have a lot of value, possibly even before the season starts, possibly some trades before the draft or around the draft time for the Grizzlies. I could possibly see something like that. JV is a guy who's definitely a fan favorite, definitely does more on the court than what Dieng does. But, hey, if a team comes along with a good deal for JV, like I said, this should still be a developmental year, too, even though the Grizzlies were good. This is still year two of a rebuild. So I wouldn't be against trading JV at all if it brings back the proper pieces or the proper assets. That would, of course, cause you to probably start Jaren at the five. Is he ready for that? No, but that's also the position that you know Jaren will probably ultimately end up playing. It may be the best fit for him on this team as far as allowing Brandon to start as well. So, you know, I don't really think anything should be off the table outside of your young guys that you know are your core for the future.
And Anthony, one last question in this segment regarding, you know, looking at the Grizzlies. We all know that Taylor Jenkins prefers shooting, and we know that the investment that's been made in this young core, you know, natural self-sufficient shooting ability is something that still needs to be developed. There's not a lot of, you know, elite, you know, presence of that right now. Do you think as this roster continues to form itself over the next 12 months to 18 months, it comes down to simply, you know, getting as much shooting as possible, or do you feel there's more to it? It seems like it could go both ways.
As far as that goes, this is something I kind of threw out in conversation as well, just some friends of mine. I wouldn't be against the Grizzlies trying to go get guys that are quote-unquote shooters, but they're well past their prime. They might be older. Possibly a guy that we had on our team that never suited up for us in Kyle Korver. You know, one of those type of guys. Just having guys on the court to kind of fit around what Taylor Jenkins does, but you know they're not going to be the final pieces for, you know, the team's, you know, final goals, you know, as far when everyone's developed. But just giving Ja Target, who's a guy that you know is just a knockdown shooter, or maybe even going out and making a trade, trying to get a guy like a Buddy Hield or someone like that who could, you know, possibly be a long-term answer as a shooter on this team. But I think it's evident that the Grizzlies do need to, if they're going to run Taylor Jenkins' system, they got to start having the real personnel around him to fit what they're trying to do. And we know that Kyle Anderson doesn't really fit that situation. Other guys on the team may not particularly fit that, but you may want to start getting those guys in just to kind of plug in and see what that offense looks like with guys. Like I said, maybe past their prime might not be the best option, but can simply, you know, just come in and knock down shots until you really get where you're trying to go. And plus, that's also something with free agency next summer that you can show guys, hey, you know, you're a lot better than the guy they had in that spot. But just imagine how it could be if you were here, you know, in free agency or whatever. So I just think this is a pretty big summer as far as the Grizzlies trying to shape their roster and getting some shooters around Ja and Jaren, including Jaren, who is a shooter. But just, you know, getting more shooters around that core to see how that team looks with more open spacing on the court due to, you know, that perimeter game opening up.
I think you bring up an excellent point. If you need proof that the point that you bring up is relevant, look no further than Anthony Tolliver. Signing a 10-day in March, and then in the bubble, he's sitting here starting in place of Jaren. So you are exactly correct. Even if they may be past their prime, if they are someone that Taylor Jenkins can trust to utilize his game plan, especially from shooting, that really stands out. Coming up, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to get to the draft. I know Anthony has some perspective about past Grizzlies draft that I'm really wanting to talk with him about, especially comes when it comes to Jordan Adams. We'll get Anthony's perspective on that. So, Anthony, a really interesting conversation. I didn't get to see all of it. I know that a lot of it happened on Twitter, but it definitely stood out that the Grizzlies drafts during the grit and grind era, that was the missing piece. The support through the draft to really push us over the edge to be a true title contender, it never was there. From Xavier Henry to Roten to Adams to Wade Baldwin. But Jordan Adams really stood out as something I think in your perspective was a clear missed opportunity. What was it about Adams? I know injuries really nobody can help, but what was it about Adams that really made you think he could have been a true difference maker as in an addition to the grit and grind core?
Yeah, I was a big fan of the prospect of Jordan Adams back in the day. He was a guy, he kind of reminds me of, you got a lot of people on the Mason Jones train. It's a weird train that everyone's jumped on. But my co-host Peter Evanson has tried his best to get me on it. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine, whatever. Mason Jones, whatever. So Jordan Adams was always one of those guys who he could get to the basket. He had a nice mid-range game. He had similar defensive skills to Melton as far as having those quick reflexes with his hands. He's a guy that can knock down threes. He was a guy that was, as his conditioning got better, he was getting more and more athletic, just a natural scorer. And I think that it was such a fiasco with that Grizzlies team back then with Coach Yeager, where he was on the Rodney Hood train, and Rodney Hood was a fine player. And, you know, he had a, you know, pretty decent career before injuries pretty much derailed him. Hopefully he can get back on the court this year. Not really sure where he's at as far as that's concerned. But I just always thought it was the whole the pure pettiness of Dave Yeager not to play that kid just because he wasn't Rodney Hood always came out as the most ridiculous thing to me. Because whenever Jordan got in, he had good minutes. I mean, no one can really point to this bad stretch of play from Jordan Adams, because whenever he played, I mean, the kid produced. And I would argue with these people on Twitter where good teams don't play rookies and all those type of things. And then you see Tyler Hero, you know, being phenomenal, you know, in the NBA Finals, which I always thought that was a bad narrative. If a guy's good, let him play. Like, I don't believe in the whole narrative of good teams shouldn't play rookies or whatever, because you never know what rookie can help put you over the top. And like I said, Tyler Hero was one of those guys to put you over the top. It's not really the biggest deal in the world. I just thought the Grizzlies never were in a position to not try to develop your rookies. We had a past of drafting so many bad players. I never understood why we never tried to develop our rookies more than what we did. And as a fan and someone who was a pseudo media member at the time, it was frustrating, especially when Jordan Adams was a guy that you felt like had talent, who had potential. Now, Jordan did a lot of things that on his own that kind of messed up his situation here in Memphis. But, you know, once those surgeries started going bad for him, you know, of course, his career was pretty much over. But he's just the poster child to me of just a waste of development as far as the Grizzlies are concerned. And with drafting Rodney Hood to solve their problem, I mean, sure. I mean, whatever. Like, that's a pretty much a dead debate to me. Hood, you know, in some situations he was good. In some situations he's been pretty terrible. He was pretty bad when he went to Cleveland. It's depending on the fit. But yeah, I just wish we had handled that whole Jordan Adams thing a lot better, because I thought he had more potential than what he was able to show. That rookie year Jordan Adams probably would have been pretty good if we had have used him more. Because every time he got on the court, you know, he gave you buckets, and he was good. He had a lot of good, not a good moments whenever he got on the court.
I think, again, you bring up a very relevant and good point, because even during the grit and grind era, it was the development that was so needed. The development of
anybody. And then when it was over, it was over. I mean, you were still depending on guys in their mid-30s, and you didn't have anything coming up the pike behind them. And it was, you know, just a really sad situation, the way that we handled things.
But I think getting back to the point that we had talked about with the trust in this coaching staff, you know, that's something that really stood out to me about Taylor Jenkins, Anthony, was that his development, even from the top to the bottom, to Brandon, to DeAnthony, all those guys reached ceilings that you wouldn't expect. And with our lack of free agency destination being here, that development of young players is going to be so key to making this young core reach its potential as maybe being a championship contender. That really stands out for the future, doesn't it? In your opinion, the ability of Taylor Jenkins and his staff to develop these young players?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's one thing that you say that I totally disagree with, that I hear a lot of people say. I'm not really sure that Memphis isn't a free agent destination. I think that if Memphis continues to do what they do on the court with these young players, with the development of those guys, and you create a winning culture in Memphis, I think that this could definitely be a free agent destination. Guys want to win, and that's a formula that's a pretty old and proven formula. Guys want to win, and they want to be around other guys that are in their age timeline, and guys who are good and fun to play with, and guys who are going to make them better. And I think if you got a guy like Ja Morant and Jaren comes around and Brandon comes around, I think this, if you have money, if you got cap space and you're a good team, I think that I definitely can see guys coming here. I don't understand why that's such a current theme. I think people confuse something that's never happened and take that as meaning that it will never happen. And I don't always think that's the case. You got to remember, there was one season where the Grizzlies were good and they had money. And that was the year we signed Chandler Parsons. If you look back in the history of this organization and the 20 years they've been here, we've had cap space and we've been a good team only one time in the history of the organization. And that's when they had Chandler Parsons. And if you look back at that free agent class, you know, it was horrible to sign Chandler Parsons, but it's not like there was just an abundance of guys to go out there and spend on that that summer either. But like I said, if this organization continues to do what they're doing and the direction that they're going in, I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see Memphis be a free agent destination.
I do agree with you there, and especially with, you know, the overall presence of Ja. And that's another question before I hit on this year's draft that I'll ask. You know, when we drafted Ja, obviously, you know, him being the best natural talent that this, you know, franchise has ever had, I think that that was not a far-fetched thing to say. But the brand of Ja Morant and the ability for him to truly be that NBA-level superstar that the whole country and world knows that Memphis fans, you know, have always wanted to have, Ja certainly has met that expectation quicker than many have thought. When he came into the fold, did you feel he would be this big of a brand this quickly?
Not this big. I figured, especially when they went out and signed Tyus Jones, you think that the Grizzlies didn't think so either. I mean, you're talking about a guy who you expect rookies to come in throwing the ball all over the court. You expect them to come in struggling. You expect them to have rough stretches of play where they're looking bad for weeks and possibly a month at a time, month or so at a time. And that, none of that happened with Ja. He was great. He was great the entire season. I mean, he had a couple. You know, of course, every player is going to have bad games, but you never saw this huge stretch where Ja looked like a rookie or a rookie wall, so to speak. He was consistent the whole season. And I didn't think Ja would be nearly as good. I thought we'd see flashes of greatness, but I think that we saw him this year become, you know, one of the better point guards in the league already.
Absolutely. And Anthony, the final thing we'll hit on is this year's NBA draft. I'm excited as well, echoing you. You know, I know that you've mentioned Mason Jones, as several have. Do you think it's going to come down simply to the Grizzlies making their 40th pick and being happy with that? Could you see something unexpected to where we gain a more valuable pick? Could we see maybe them getting back in the second round? What are kind of your expectations coming next Wednesday?
Man, I could see the Grizzlies moving up, possibly. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that. But Sean, be honest with you, man. I'm a draft snob, man. These last two drafts have made me turn my nose up at these lower draft picks. I don't care, man. Like, just get it over with. Step up to the podium, the virtual podium, and pick your guy. I'm used to seeing Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant and Brandon Clark on draft day. I don't have time for these picks at 40, man. Like, whatever happens, happens, man. But yeah, I'm joking, of course. But yeah, it'll be good, man. I think that this Grizzlies organization is looking to find a talent at 40. I don't know if that's someone they expect to have an immediate turnaround and playing just because of their roster situation, because you don't know what they're going to do with Jontay Porter or, you know, what they're going to do with Josh Jackson, whatever. But yeah, I expect them to make a very smart move at 40. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I'm not going to give you any in-depth scouting report because, like I said, I've gotten kind of snobbish over the last 2 years. I'm used to looking at guys at the top of the draft, man. So yeah, whether it be a Mason Jones or Cassius Stanley or however they decide to go, I'm down for it, man.
And a couple of tidbits I'll hit on before we let you talk about what you've got going on coming up towards the end of this year, going into next year. So Anthony, he probably remembers, but Anthony actually was the first one. Now, I've been with Grizzly Bear Blues now for a little over 2 years. Anthony actually gave me my first opportunity through Blue World Order. I wrote for him a few times, so I thanked him before, but wanted to tell you thank you as well. And the one other development that's been disappointing for me, Anthony, is you're very creative with your last name. But you used it to say, I know that you're a comic book Marvel fan, and Thanos was probably my best version of your last name. Is it now retired because Zion has taken on that persona? Are we ever going to see Thanos again?
I might have to bring that one back, man. A lot of times on the radio show, when we're doing our Zoom call, I put my name in as different things just to hear Peter read them off. So I might have to put that one back into the rotation, man. Because I had people like my co-host of the Outsiders podcast, Cam Rose, who was a big hater of the Thanos persona. So I'm about to pull it back just to mess with him and let people know that I'm still the you know, man, I've kind of gotten lazy, man. Like, ever since, like, you know, when you start hitting your goals, you kind of ease off the pressure a little bit. So I might need to bring that kind of stuff back to fire myself and others up a little bit.
Hey, I love Thanos, and anytime you want to talk comic books, we certainly can. I know a former athletic writer with Amari Sankofa would love those conversations as well. But speaking of podcasts, I know you used to do the Outsiders with Cam Rose, but you now have your podcast game coming back along with Sports 56, the Sane Asylum podcast. I know you've just started that. Besides that and other things, what all's going on in your world coming up for this next NBA season?
Well, the Sane Asylum podcast is a personal podcast of mine. It just allows me to talk to friends of mine in media or just people who are use it as a spotlight for people who are doing great things in the city, in the community. We got a great political podcast coming up very soon. featuring a gentleman. I'm not going to say his name yet, but I want you guys to check that one out. It's going to be kind of like Politics for Dummies. I'm one of those guys who doesn't really know too much about politics, and the gentleman I'm going to bring on is really going to speak in a way where everyone can kind of understand, kind of shine some light on some of the things that are going on nationally with the whole presidential debate and how those things go. Yeah, I'm excited about that, man. It's just something I'm doing. Kind of lets me let my hair down a little bit more so than I'm able to doing things from 7 to 10, a.k.a. I'll be cussing and stuff like that and doing dumb stuff. So yeah, I'm able to do that more than I am on the radio. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to that, man, just doing more things. The whole Sports Illustrated thing is kind of transitioning. So I'm trying to see how I can fit into that whole equation. But, big things are coming.
And again, as mentioned, they are all well deserved. Anthony, if you'll stick with us just for a second after the podcast, but thank you so much. Congratulations on all the success. And in time, if it works out, I look forward to meeting you in person certainly soon. But thank you so much for joining us. You can find Anthony on Twitter at Sane Asylum. And of course, you can find him with Peter Edmondson on Sports 56 from 7 to 10 a.m., one of the best sports radio shows in the region. Thanks so much for following us here. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC, the show wherever podcasts are available. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.